Good morning. On behalf of Alice and myself, we also wish all of you a blessed Christmas. It's been a day that I've been waiting for since last Christmas. I thought I was doing really well. I've been losing some weight lately, but I don't think it's been doing very well the last couple of days. But I'm sure we're all suffering from the same things here. We all enjoyed the Christmas choir program and the Christmas children's program. Those services bring the message of Jesus to many in our community, and it's a great thing to do, and a special thanks to those shepherds and those kings and all of them, and the shepherds that looked after the shepherds, making sure they did what they were supposed to do. We all enjoy our days off from work and the family gatherings and that are in full swing, but this morning it's good to be here and to worship our Lord and Savior and Redeemer. At church and at family gatherings, we sing the old familiar songs, and today we're going to again sing Der Friedensfürst after the message this morning, so you're all welcome to come up at that time. We love to give others gifts. We love to share meals, and we observe the traditions that make this time of year so special. Christmas also brings wonder and joy and smiles on the faces of children and the elderly, but it also brings a feelings also of melancholy because of those who aren't here. Christmas is a wonderful story of Jesus' birth, and should be shared with others around us all year long. The Bible narrates the story in the Gospel of Luke in the little town of Bethlehem in Israel over 2,000 years ago, a baby born whose life was destined to change the lives of millions. In those days, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So Joseph and a very pregnant Mary would have had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That was the town that Joseph's family originally came from, a journey of about 112 kilometers. So the way I drive, it would take about an hour. But they were walking and the highways were not so good. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We learn from their birth that Jesus did not come to a palace. He did not come to a place that had carpeted floors and running water, unless you ran for it and got the pail and did it yourself. There were no nurses or doctors there in attendance. There were no cathedral bells, but there were angel choirs. And the Friedensfürst chorus was not sung. He came to a stable and was laid in a manger. His mother had only straw for a bed. But little did the world know that this babe, through his birth, life, teaching, death, and resurrection, would have a greater influence on humanity than the birth and death of any other person in history. But this is no surprise to any of us. The scriptures had foretold the place and the time of his birth. The star shone as a sign. The wise men and priests in the temple knew and looked for signs. It was not a surprise. Christ is a central figure of history and worshiped by countless millions, both dead and living. And untold multitudes are looking forward to the time when Jesus will come again to complete his purpose. Christmas began in the heart of man, and it is only complete when it reaches the heart of man. Christmas is the beginning of a classic true story with all the right ingredients: love, joy, peace, goodwill, true reconciliation, and relationship. These are all beautiful things that Christmas signifies. The word peace and goodwill are familiar to anyone who knows the Christmas story. And in Luke 2, chapter 14, it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, goodwill toward men." With these words, a multitude of angels praise the Almighty, at the time of his miraculous birth. And it still rings true today. God has not changed, and his plan for peace and goodwill has not changed. That is the key to peace on earth. Peace between nations and peace in a family, peace, goodwill toward men. The supernatural events seen on the earth began with the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. Before Christ was born, his coming was announced by an angel. The heavenly messenger used the name Emmanuel for Christ, which means God with us. This is the greatest display of love that the world has ever seen. During his 33 years on earth, Christ healed the sick, fed the hungry, and comforted the brokenhearted, and raised the dead and forgave their sins. Yet his greatest act was his sacrifice on the cross for the sins of a world that had gone astray from its creator. Miracles surround Christ's birth and continued through his earthly ministry to bear testimony that he truly was the Son of God. In addition to his supernatural birth, he lived a supernatural life, died a supernatural death, arose from the dead, and returned to heaven to supernatural power. Jesus Christ is the eternal God. The question comes up then, why did Christ leave the glory of heaven to be born in Bethlehem and eventually to die on the cross? It was all because of God's love for mankind, a love that extends far beyond our human understanding of love. The Bible explains that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came to reveal God to us. He was the greatest missionary of all time. He came on the greatest mission we can think of. After living in the presence of God and the Holy Spirit and his angels, Jesus left his heavenly home and exalted position to be born a baby in Bethlehem. Fully God, and yet fully man. He gave up the heavenly realm to live on earth, which must have been hell. Just look at the crucifixions that they had. Couldn't get much worse. Because next to heaven, the best place on earth is not even close. By doing this, he has given us a hope of being delivered from our selfish and our destructive ways. That is why on the first Christmas night, the angel announced, I give you good news of great joy, for there is born to us this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. God incarnate, God in flesh and blood, he has come to be one of us. Of all the gifts that we were ever given, one stands out clearly as the absolute best and most precious gift given of all time. And that was when God, our Creator, whose name the angels proclaimed, was Emmanuel, meaning God with us, came to earth as a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sacrificed himself for the sins of the entire world, that man might have eternal life and a presence in heaven. God gave himself for the redemption of his creation. This is the greatest showing of love the world has ever seen. So Christmas is the most joyful day of the year for Christians because it celebrates the coming of Jesus Christ, the one who saves us from our sins. We believe that Jesus' birth was the incarnation of God on earth, opening the door to new hope and eternal life. C.S. Lewis said, "The Son of God became a man that men might become the sons of God." God became a man so that you and I might become God's child, as Jeremy already spoke about, being adopted. Now that is the true Christmas story and something worth celebrating. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those of us who dwelt in the lands of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a son, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord will perform this. We just read in Isaiah where Jesus has prophesied 700 years before his birth. For unto us a child will be born, a son will be given to us, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. One of Jesus' description is Wonderful Counselor. Matthew Henry explains it, justly is he called wonderful, for he is both God and man. His love is the wonder of angels and glorified saints. In his birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension, he was wonderful. A constant series of wonders attended him, and without controversy, great was the mystery of the godliness concerning him. Matthew Henry further states that Jesus, being counseled by God, can give great counsel to us, his people. He cares about our welfare and holds extraordinary wisdom. We can consult him, and he will direct our paths. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 speaks later of the spirit of counsel resting upon Jesus. Jesus comes alongside us to be our advisor, to give wisdom and understanding through the word and prayer, through his Holy Spirit, and on occasion, through his servants. Jesus is also called Mighty God. That Jesus is God is taught throughout the scripture. For example, in John's gospel, every time Jesus said the words, I am, he is addressing himself with the name of God. The apostle Paul addresses Jesus with names and attributes that are understood from the Old Testament to belong to God only. For example, in his letter to the Colossians, he wrote in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. That God is almighty goes without saying. He is also called the Everlasting Father. In John chapter 10, verse 30, we read, I and the Father are one. And again in chapter 3, verse 8. Again in verse 38. Believe the works that you may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. And those who took up stones to stone him did so because they clearly understood that Jesus was making himself equal with God. I don't want to get you confused about this. Jesus the Son is not the Father, neither is the Father the Son, but they are both part of the Trinity, being one God. They share many attributes, but when Jesus is called Everlasting Father, it does not indicate the relationship of Jesus to God, his Father, but the relationship we have with Jesus. He is like a Father to us. He is an Everlasting Father, full of advice, love, and comfort. Jesus also has the title Prince of Peace. We have peace with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus' life and sacrifice bring ultimate peace in multiple ways by establishing peace with God, by enabling inner peace, providing reconciliation with individuals, and fostering peace among the people. Jesus is the source of everlasting peace, the Prince of Peace. And that goes beyond mere absence of conflict to include a state of completeness and harmony. Jesus preferred to call himself the Son of Man, but he acknowledges that he is also the Son of God. The eternal Son of God became man, and he dwelt among us. There is nothing untimely about the birth or the ascension of Jesus. The birth of Jesus was unprecedented, unimaginable, and unequaled. Jesus became our Redeemer by becoming man and yet remaining God. Jesus was absolutely perfect in every respect to redeem us. He was perfect in his pre-incarnate state before he ever took on his body. He was perfect in his virgin birth, and he was perfect in his sinless life. He was perfect in his death, his atoning death on Calvary. He was perfect in his resurrection. He is now perfect in his intercession for us in heaven. And he will be perfect in his second coming for us in the rapture and in ruling this earth in righteousness forevermore. During this busy time of Christmas season, let us pause for a moment to examine the life of Jesus Christ and to wonder at God's supernatural love for his people. Christmas reminds us that the values we share should far outweigh whatever differences there are among people. The exuberance of a child's face, the joy of a grandmother's laughter, the love in the hearts of mothers and fathers for their sons and daughters. All these blessings are enwrapped this Christmas morning and then lived in us throughout the year. The true meaning of Christmas is not about man loving man. The true meaning of Christmas is about God loving man. It's about God giving the most amazing and spectacular gift to reconcile the world. Jesus Christ, as God's only Son, came to earth and gave his life so that we may live. His actions and his words remind us that service to others should be central to our lives, and that the sacrifice and unconditional love must guide us and inspire us to live lives of compassion, mercy, and justice. Grudges, envy, hatred, and hopelessness should have no part in our lives. The true spirit of Christmas reflects a dedication to helping those in need, to giving hope to those in despair, and to spreading peace and understanding throughout the earth. The best way to celebrate Christmas is to gratefully receive this precious and perfect gift of God. It means to invite Christ, God incarnate, into our lives and into our hearts. And we do this by accepting Jesus into our lives and hearts and renouncing violence and hatred, greed and selfishness, and all the evil intentions and motives in our hearts. Let us celebrate this Christmas season by praying and doing all we can to promote love, peace, and goodwill among all people on earth. Let us give of our resources to help the poor, the homeless, and the voiceless. This is what Jesus Christ did. Then we will experience the joy of giving that is at the heart of the Christmas spirit. When the angel announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, the personal importance of his coming was emphasized. The angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Have you ever thought that it was for you that the Savior was born? Do you realize that God sent his Son into the world for you? He sent him to become your Savior. To receive the gift of God by faith, you must believe that Christ actually was born to be your Savior and that he died for your sins. And because he arose victorious over death, he offers you abundant and everlasting life. This Christmas, let the words written in Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 be a guide to you. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So you must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. And I thank the Lord and Savior that he came 2,000 years ago, not just for himself, but for others, and that includes me. You have the opportunity to share the real meaning of Christmas. You have the opportunity to praise and worship, to speak and live. You have the opportunity to give and serve. Now I'll conclude with the story about the shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Shall we stand for prayer? Father in heaven, we give thanks that this morning we can come here to this place and worship you. You are most worthy of praise for what you have done. We give thanks and praise and glory and honor to you for your Son that you sent to us to be the Redeemer of the world, to forgive our sins, that we might have everlasting life. We thank you that not only was he born here, fully God and fully man, but that he shared his life among us and taught us and showed us the way to go, how to come to you, Lord. And through his death and resurrection, that we can have eternal life. And we thank you for that. I ask you be with everyone here and those who are not here from our congregation, that they might, through this Christmas season, receive you with joy and thanksgiving, and share this word that we spoke this morning with those around them with strength, and give them power to do that. It is a great mission. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.